This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in. It's Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Before we start, Abdallah, let me ask you this question. Before we start, we have news to get down to. We have to break down the news.
A lot of news.
Do we do good news right now or do we do bad news to start the show? Good news or bad news? I feel like we have both right now cooking here at ESPN 1000.
Let's start with the good news for the people. We're good vibes only here at ESPN 1000. Yeah, good vibes only.
Yes, goodbye. We clearly have good and bad, right?
Yeah.
We have some good news where things are moving in the right direction, giving us hope,
yeah.
Giving us excitement.
Yeah.
Heck, a team in this city could be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
There's a technicality. They're not necessarily a playoff team at this moment.
All right.
But they could be a playoff team. They win their playing round against the Edmonton Oilers. I'm talking about the Chicago Blackhawks. There's some good news to be had, but there's also some bad news tonight.
Well, Chris, first of all, as a lifelong Blackhawks fan, yeah. I would like to welcome the Blackhawks to the postseason. And you can't tell me they are not in the postseason.
Well, did you read the technicalities on what the NHL is saying?
I heard Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, say to me that the NHL season was over.
Yes.
The NHL season is over.
Yeah.
So what is this?
Well. So the NHL
post-season.
No, but the NHL is technically saying that the playoffs are the 16 teams. So the 24 teams that get into this play-in round, as far as the stats go, whatever takes place in the play-in round is not necessary. It would be like when you had to play an extra game at the end of the regular season. So that's where the stats would go for stat-keeping sake.
Because
we know that hockey is such an important sport when it comes to keeping the stats. And making sure everything is set in right place.
Let me create a flowchart for you.
What are you writing
here's
there?
Here's the
flowchart. Drawing something out.
Is the NHL season over?
The season's over, yes.
So you have two directions, yes
right.
or no.
Right.
Is
yes,
it over?
Yes, the season's
yes.
over. Gary Bettman said that today.
Okay, or no. What's the answer?
Well, I already said yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Welcome to the postseason.
Well, but there's a mysterious third option that you can go into that the National Hockey League is saying that this is a play-in round to get to the postseason. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Here's what it says.
Is
the NHL season over?
We'll send out a photo of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Welcome.
Welcome, yeah.
No.
No.
Shucks.
Shucks. Okay.
So, is the NHL season over? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay, welcome.
Right.
Are you one of the 24 teams?
Yes, the Hawks will be one of the 24 teams.
Then welcome.
Well, they
to the postseason.
But the NHL is saying technically, unless you're one of the 16 teams in the round of 16, you are not a, quote, playoff team.
As a lifelong Blackhawks fan, I will say that the Blackhawks are in the postseason, print the shirts.
Well, I mean, I'm excited because they get to play more games.
Yeah.
And listen, the matchup against the Edmonton Oilers, the Hawks are 2-1 against the Oilers this season, the regular season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, why not? Why can't they figure something out? Why can't they beat Edmonton in a best-of-five series.
They held Connor McDavid to pointless. Pointless. No points for Connor McDavid.
So
no
good,
points.
The good news is that the National Hockey League has a plan in place.
Yeah, they have an idea. They don't know where they're going to play. They don't know when they're going to play, but they know that they are going to play. Eventually, the Blackhawks will be playing postseason hockey.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the
is.
Good news.
Yes.
But this evening, we also have some bad news.
Well, let's do the sandwich.
Well, I mean, I think right now, the bad news is, does baseball have any clue what they're trying to do here?
Absolutely.
Because
not.
It seems like each day that passes, each hour that passes, more and more comes out where the Players Association, the owners, not on the right page. They disagree with the amount of money going back and forth and what the players will get paid. And they have no set plan in place to accomplish a season in 2020.
So what happened is today, last week, about a week, 10 days ago, the baseball owners put out their proposal to the MLB Players Association, and they said, we want to do a 50-50 split of the revenue, and that's how we're going to pay you, instead of paying you your prorated salary that you agreed upon in a new contract situation. And the Players Association told them to go pound sand. And so then the owners had to come up with a new proposal, and they submitted that new proposal today. And it was a sliding scale. It was a sliding scale of revenue, and the players that make the most will take the most cuts. It's probably what most people that are working right now have had to deal with, whether you're taking pay cuts, whether you're being furloughed. This is what most people have had to deal with. And that's what, you know, the big argument was about this last week, is when players said, well, we want to play with the original agreement. We want our full money because we already agreed to take a 50% pay cut because we're only paying 50% of the games. Now, the owners want them to take even more of a pay cut, and it affects the players that make the most money, and the players that make the least amount of money are the ones that don't have a lot of their salary cut right now.
So from the column from Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers on ESPN.com, here's the plan. Sources said the highest paid players would receive perhaps less than 40% of their full salaries for the season. For example, a player making $35 million in 2020 would make about $7.8 million. A player making $10 million would make about $2.9 million. A player entering a $1 million contract would receive $434,000 under the league's plan. A player making the MLB minimum would then earn about $262,000 in 2020. 65% of all major league players make less than the $1 million threshold. So you look at, you know, that's more than half of the league making that, and the cuts that you would have there. And really, you know, if you have major leaguers who thought the proposal from last week was bad, I feel like many who look at this initially would look at it and say, this is a terrible deal for the players, you know, especially those who are making a lot of money, the highest paid players in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, there's not a lot of those guys. And that's like Mike Trout and Verlander and those guys that are making $35 million, $34 million,
$30 million.
Kershaw. Yeah, exactly. But look at it this way, right? So the full year proposal for a guy making $35 million was to make $35 million, right? You play all 162 baseball games, you make $35 million, right? So in the beginning, when the pandemic started, they were like, hey, we're not going to play 162 baseball games. We're only going to play 81 baseball games. We only want to pay you half that money. We want to pay you $17.5 million. And the likes of Mike Trout and Verlander and all of them and all the Players Association were like, cool, cut me down to $17 million. That's fine. I get it. I'm only working half the games. Only pay me half the money. Makes perfect sense. Now baseball's coming back and says, we want to cut that $17.5 million down to $7.8 million. You're going to say that I'm supposed to make $35. I already agreed to make half the money. Now you want me to make $7 million? I don't care if there's a million, if there's a thousand, if there's whatever denomination of money is attached to that. That's an 80% pay cut. That's insane. That's insane. I don't care how much money you make. That's to ask any player to take, to any employee to take an 80% pay cut, regardless of profession, and expect them to play what you expect them to play, is a bad look for the owners.
What was the deal last week?
The deal last week was we split everything 50-50.
Should the players maybe have taken that deal?
No, the players shouldn't have taken that deal.
All right,
players shouldn't take this deal either.
This is a far worse deal. So,
well, here's what's going
to
happen.
Following all this, it just points to the fact that we're not going to have baseball in 2020.
No, we could. And let me tell you why, Chris.
How?
Let me tell you why.
How? This is why it's the bad news. Yeah. We said there's good and bad news this evening. I think this is the bad news.
This is the good news. If you really want baseball.
Okay, give it to me.
So you said it, in fact, you said it as from Jesse Rogers, in a tweet from Jesse Rogers, about 65% of all players make a million or less, right? So you would assume that even more make 2 million, even more make 3, and you add that up. You add like the halfway mark between the guys that are making $1 million and the guys that are making $35 million. Let's set that at like $15 million, right?
Okay.
So everybody making $15 million, that's got to be 75 to 80% of the league is making $15 million or less, right? I would assume something like that.
Or less, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, right? Okay, so when this pandemic started, the NFL had their collective bargaining agreement, and what they needed to pass theirs is a simple majority. All they needed was all the players, a simple majority. Give me 51% of the players to vote for this, and we're going to do it, and we're going to give you more football games in 2 years. We're going to give you an extra playoff game. You can smoke a little weed if you want to. All that good stuff.
Right.
Right? And the higher priced players, the veteran players in the league said no. Allen Robinson was on this very radio station saying, no, I don't like, this is a bad deal. But it's probably going to get passed because the majority of the players in this league don't make a lot of money. They're only in this league for 4 or 5 years. And what they need to do is get their money while they can. And this gives them a little bit more money for the time being. So if you take this and you propose this to the players and you ask for a simple majority, this is going to get passed because a majority of the players make less money than the guys making $30 million, $35 million. So if the MLB Players Association goes, fine, we'll do a simple majority. And if we get a simple majority, we're playing baseball and we'll all agree to it, and so be it. They're going to get that simple majority, in which case we'll have baseball.
Okay, and that is a good way to look at it. So why do we continue to get players speak out against this?
Because the Players Association has to allow for them to take the simple majority rule.
Like the little guys are going to rule here. I get what you're saying, and that's what took place in the NFL. But the high-priced guys are going to be bitter about this deal. They're going to be upset. And who knows if they're going to even want to return to play.
Mike Trout can either come in and make $8 million or he can make no dollars. Him.
Well, Marcus Stroman, he tweeted this out 2 hours ago. He tweets, this season is not looking promising. Keep in mind, keeping the mind and body ready regardless. Time to dive into some life after baseball projects. Hope everyone is safe and healthy. Brighter times remain ahead. Why are Major League players going out and tweeting stuff like this publicly when the information is being released at the new deal that's coming out for Major League Baseball players? See what I'm saying? Like, the players at the top are not going to be okay with this. I understand the majority and the numbers to get to that point, but are the players making the big dollars in Major League Baseball going to accept this? Because remember, when the proposal was put forth last week, what was their excuse last week? The excuse last week was safety. And we get it. We're in a time, in a day and age, where yes, safety is the most important thing for all of us. But all things considering, a Major League Baseball player that's being tested multiple times a week and with all the safety protocols being put into place, it's a much safer situation than, say, me getting on the train to come to work every day and not being tested at all and not knowing who anyone else on the CTA has been tested either. You see what I'm saying? Like life right now is dangerous for everybody. So to say that, oh, the money isn't right because of safety last week, are they going to use that again this week? After we see this, like, I feel like with the Players Association, there's always going to be something. And at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do with the pandemic at all. It has everything to do with the issue between the owners and the players in Major League Baseball. Thus, we're going to get back to a spot where we're going to have a lockout where it's going to look really, really, really bad for the players.
Well, Marcus Stroman was scheduled to make $12 million. So he would have made $6 million with the, you know, 81-game season. And then now he would only be scheduled to make, you know, $3.5-ish million. So he's going from $12 million to $3.5-ish million.
I agree. It sucks.
And you know why?
Everyone wants their full money. I get that.
No. You know why Marcus Stroman wants his full money and why he wants it now? Because if they decide to play and he decides to show up and not play, it's a year of service time.
Well, he's going to be a free agent.
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
And so...
Did you see the rumors about the White Sox already being interested in his service next summer?
Well, listen, anybody that's going to be
a free agent?
Anybody that's going to be a free agent next summer, winter, whenever it is going to be... We're going to have... Remember the offseason from 2 years ago where no one signed?
Yeah.
And then eventually everybody just took cuts, and that's just how it was. That's what it's going to be, for sure. Because teams aren't going to have any money. If they're arguing this much over players about this season, just wait till it comes time to spend next season. They're not going to have anything.
We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Do you think there will be baseball this summer? We'll take your phone calls, and we'll also go into the rules that hockey is going to use to have this playoff format. We'll talk about it next.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Nick and Gurney, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, we're all right, man. What's up?
Good. So, Adam, I agree with you like 1,000%. This new plan by the MLB owners is basically to maximize their profit. Because if most of the union is the lower-earning players, you know, they can get that majority. That means they don't have to pay the bigger guys the bigger bucks. Because if you look at it, between the prorated and this new proposal, the lower-income players are only losing about 20, 30 grand. So if the owners can, you know, get this passed, they can make more money for themselves, and that's all this is.
Yeah, it's a good point, absolutely. Nick. And, you know, the other thing is, like, so are the owners just using the pandemic as a way to get one by the players? And thanks for your call, Nick. We appreciate it. Like, are they just trying to get a fast one by them? Like,
I don't,
you know, we've talked about it multiple times. You know, the Ricketts family and the ownership group for the Chicago Cubs, they seem to be in an issue, right? Financially going forward.
Well,
and the pandemic has just made this a highlighted thing, right?
Well, the problem with singling out the Cubs is, one, they're not even going to lose the most money out of any Major League Baseball team. They're like fourth after the Yankees and the Dodgers, and I believe it's the Red Sox, or maybe it's not the
Red Sox.
I think
it's the Mets.
The Mets. It was the Mets, yeah. But look, it's not Anthony Rizzo's fault. It's not Javi Baez's fault. It's not, you know, John Lester's fault that Tom Ricketts decided to buy up all the rooftops and that he decided to invest in property around the ballpark. Yeah, that it's you know, they made the ballpark better. They made, you know, they made it nicer around the ballpark, and they've got that field where they show the games and all that kind of stuff, and the hotel and all that.
The field, Gallagher Way.
Gallagher
You're just
Way,
calling it a field now?
Well, we'll see what it's called.
They have farmers markets there.
Yeah, cool, great. Not now. And that's why they're losing revenue, Chris. No, but the point is, like, it's not those players' fault that the owners can't afford to pay their bills. How is it their fault? If I can't pay my rent, how is it, you know what I mean? Like, if I...
Oh, it's not the players' fault.
It's not the players' fault.
No.
So why is it coming back for them that they need to pay for this? Why is money coming out of John Lester's paycheck to pay for a rooftop?
No, it's to keep their business operational. They can't pay their bills.
Well,
like, that's what's happening.
Then sell the team.
Yeah, they can.
Why does Javi Baez and his little swaggy baby have to take a pay cut for them to start Marquee Network?
Okay, and you and I have gone in circles for 2+ weeks on this. If this was a restaurant and the restaurant's not making any money.
It's not a restaurant.
No, no, but oh, fine. Any business. If they're not making any money.
But sports aren't another business.
No, what I'm telling you, though, if they can't make any money, so then they can't pay their employees. That's why they have to then cut the percentage of what they can pay their employees to stay as a business that they are. I get your point. They should sell the team if they can't run their business efficiently. I totally agree. Cannot disagree with you at all. But unfortunately, the situation that we're in is the baseball owners are not collectively going to say the teams that can't pay the bills, sell your teams this offseason. And billionaires who are just hanging out and they want to add a team to their portfolio, swoop right in.
You don't think Mark Cuban would come in and buy a team
if individuals like Mark Cuban or Elon Musk or whoever you want with billions and billions of dollars to come in and own a team, I'm sure they're waiting to purchase a team, especially one like the Chicago Cubs.
Of course they are.
The fact of the matter, though, is the debt that the Cubs have had to buy the team and then to do what they've done with it the last few years. Remember, this is the same team for the last two off seasons telling us that there's no money in the baseball budget. How is that?
Well, it's because of all the improvements they made to the ballpark. That's
okay.
And the network. That's what they said. But
to your
not...
point, that's not stuff that you had to do.
Exactly.
They didn't have to do that. Like, okay, you buy a new house, right?
Yeah.
Say you buy a new house and you know at some point you are going to have to do a remodel to the kitchen. You're going to have to redo a couple of bathrooms and you want to finish the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to spend the money to purchase the house mm-hmm. has X amount of dollars that you have to put down for the down payment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you purchase said house, no one says when you buy the house, you have to do the complete remodel right now. Now, if you have the money and you have the cash flow and you have the time, you'd prefer to have it all done at once, right? So then when you move in, it's brand new and everything's ready to go. But from what I've kind of gathered with all of this that we followed the last couple of years, is the Cubs bought the team and they wanted to do all this remodel and this demo and all this stuff, and they didn't really have the cash flow to support it, because the moment one thing didn't go right, the TV network not being solidified, the over budget. What was the number? $500 million over budget on the renovations for Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. The moment they were over budget, it was an issue with the baseball budget. So my point to this whole thing is, you know, you watch those shows in HDTV, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the one with Tarek where he's now off on his own and he's helping fixer up people?
Tarek,
but he's
Musa,
like, he's like really mean to them.
Yeah,
because
he's not a nice guy.
He's a know-it-all and they're doing everything wrong.
Google his name.
Oh,
he's not a nice person.
I know. I've watched him from day one, Tarek and Christina. He sucks. The point is, he's a real jerk to these people who don't know what they're doing.
They're dumb.
But every time that they do it, it's like they immediately step in it, right? They overspend, and then they don't have the timeline set up. So now they're burning money because it's taking too long to get things done. This is I feel like that is the Chicago Cubs. Tarek needs to go up to Wrigley and fix this, even though we don't like Tarek, but go figure this out for the Chicago Cubs.
Wrong show. Wrong show.
All right, different
show. Wrong show.
All right.
You know what it's time? You know what it's time for the Ricketts to do? List it. They've loved it for too long.
Yeah.
They can't afford it. Time to list it.
Okay. Billy and Berwin, you're on ESPN 1000. Should they list it? Billy, what's up?
First of all, I'm down with the HDTV talk. This is great.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I enjoy listening to both of you on your respective shows throughout the day. But, like, I have to disagree with you. You're talking about comparing the Cubs to a business.
Mm-hmm.
Any traditional business is in business to either make something or sell something, right? In this case, they're selling the players. You can't cut the budget on the thing you're selling. That's shooting yourself in the foot. If you want to cut the budget and you want to have a roster full of nobodies, nobody is going to show up.
And that's how Theo rebuilt the Cubs.
I love Billy's call. That is a fantastic call because I think he just made all of our points together. Billy, this is why. I agree with you. I think the future situation of the Chicago Cubs and their budget and their roster, I agree. I think they have shot themselves in the foot, and they're not going to be able to pay Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras.
Not if they list it.
What do you think, Billy?
I think they should love it, and I think they should go in and do the work to actually, like, and it's like, it's a point that other people have been making. It's like, let's suffer now, we're going to suffer together, and we're going to repay ourselves in the long run when we can start selling, you know, I made it through COVID-19 Baez jerseys.
Right.
And that sort of, like, working together. So it's more of a love it than a list it.
Thank you for the call, Billy. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good night. And, you know, it's like, I get it. I feel like they are shooting themselves in the foot because long term with the budget, like, first of all, is Theo Epstein going to be here? 2021, the clock's ticking, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also, is he interested in a ball club that's going to be winning 82 to 84 games every year and kind of, pretty good, not a championship level club, but they don't have the money to go fix it. So now it's kind of like a rebuild on the fly. I don't know. I don't see the resources being there for this team going forward.
Well, I think if he's got a budget that he can work with, he'll probably be around. But if he's going to be hamstrung,
he has the last two off seasons.
Well,
that was pre-COVID-19.
Yes, but I could also argue from an owner's perspective and say, look, I gave you all this money, and you signed Jason Hayward, and you signed
84
Darvish,
wins.
And you signed
84 wins.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
So Theo's a problem.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, so
I can see both sides.
As can I.
But I think that if Theo has given all of the resources that he needs to maintain this team as a playoff team, he will stay. If not, he'll leave. Because I don't know if this year because a lot, you know, if this year doesn't, does this year count, your count toward his 10-year plan, or does this like 10 years and an asterisk? Do we get an asterisk here from Theo?
I think this year counts for all of us. Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course it counts for all of us.
I think 2020 has been quite the year already for all of us.
It's been a minute.
I just think, like, if we look at this whole thing, I get your point, and I get Billy's point. The product is the players. You have to sell the players. But to me, it seems like there was a certain point where the Cubs were willing to spend, and then they got to that point and they said, okay, that's it. And it wasn't good enough. And it hasn't been good enough for the last 2 years. So that's that. That's what it is. That's what you're selling. But going forward, if you don't have the ability to re-sign Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, and you push this forward, how's an 84-win ball club getting better?
They're not going to, because they're going to lose some of their best players. And then Theo will be out, and this team will be, you know, it'll go back to the reason that Tom Ricketts bought the team. People will show up when they're allowed to again, because it's Wrigley and because it's the Cubs. And congratulations, Cubs fans. You got your one championship. I hope you like it.
Okay, so then they just wait for the seats to be filled, yeah, to eventually pay off the debt, so then they get into a cash flow positive situation after the pandemic, so then they can spend on more players again.
Well, look at what
that's
the Dodgers
what we're waiting
did
for. And then,
once the
and then
Dodgers
hopefully
started
that
their network, and the Yankees have their network, they have a lot of money. They have a lot of money. They also spend a lot of money.
But those networks can be seen. Like, that's the other problem.
Well, the
to
season
this
hasn't started yet. And, of course, look how long it took the Dodgers to get their network on TV for a majority of L.A. fans.
I mean, it still isn't.
I know.
Dodgers games are still not available
now
for everybody.
They have an agreement now that once the
for
season
everybody?
Starts.
For everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
For this next season?
It's the one major network that it wasn't
a part of. Because it was on Time Warner Cable.
Yeah, the one major network that they couldn't get, they have an agreement for. But, of course, the joke is that, well, there isn't baseball.
Well, you're right. In the last couple of years, like, Dodger fans couldn't just assume that they could watch Dodger games. So it might be a situation that we see here in Chicago as well. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. What is the latest in the NBA? When will they come back to play? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Adrian Wojnarowski on Get Up yesterday.
Everything is pointing toward a return of the NBA this season at a single site in Orlando at Disney World. And teams expect the league to tell them to start recalling their players as soon as next week. And there'll be a 2-week quarantine back in markets. But the league has started to not only put the plans in place for a return in terms of testing and safety health-wise, but really digging this week into what that format is going to look like.
Speaking of the format, how many different options does the league have to look at?
There's essentially three models they're looking at. One is to play as many regular season games as they can and then go to the playoffs, and that would be with all likely with all 30 teams, and then a pared-down version that might include a play-in tournament for teams who are still outside of the playoff picture in the standings, or possibly pool play into the postseason. There isn't a great appetite, especially among the contenders, of going right to the playoffs.
Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN television earlier today. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, phone number is 312-332-3776. So the site has been picked out. The NBA will return to Orlando at Walt Disney World. They will play their games there on the compound. It'll turn into a campus setting. How do you want to see them actually conclude this season or playoff situation? I feel like of the options that are there, I think jumping right to the playoffs might be, I don't know if that's the one I would lean towards, but I do understand not making all of the teams participate, especially the ones that are at the very bottom of the standings, like the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks, the Golden State Warriors, the Minnesota Timberwolves. No one needs to see those teams. It's unnecessary. But I do understand teams like Portland, New Orleans, and even teams like the Washington Wizards, maybe the Charlotte Hornets, and your Chicago Bulls. Maybe those teams want to try and play their way into the playoffs.
So I've changed my stance on this, because this is going to be a campus-like setting with all the teams in one location. So all the teams, coaches, presumably a few front office people, right? Like, I assume your GM would be allowed to be there, that kind of stuff, right? All the teams are going to be there. So, like, everybody can, like, get together and talk to each other. And, like, and the Bulls have a new GM. They have a new president of operations, that kind of thing. Everybody should be allowed back. Because I want Mark Eversley. I want Karnišević. I want those guys out there talking to players.
Are you saying you want them doing things behind the scenes?
I want them doing things behind the scenes. Of course I do.
Right.
I want them doing things behind the scenes because, look, as far as what the Bulls are doing on the court, it doesn't matter. None of that matters this year. You're not if Jim Boylan is, if you don't have your head coach in place for when this starts, anything that Lowry Marketing gives you, anything that Zach LaVine gives you is garbage. Because Jim Boylan's not a good coach, and he's not going to get anything more. What, you think all of a sudden Lowry Marketing's going to be like, hey, guess what, I'm good again? No, that's not how it's going to work.
Yeah.
You think Zach LaVine's going to be like, hey, guess what, here's my defense? No. That's not how it's going to work.
You know, I was doing some thinking during the pandemic, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll bring some defense to the court
now. We need to defend against the pandemic, and I need to defend against other teams' offenses.
I was watching Jordan on The Last Dance, and I thought to myself, yeah, why can't I do that? Maybe I'll just turn that on. That's the best part about a dude in the bar who's a Zach LaVine truther.
Ugh.
And listen, I like Zach's game to an extent, but you have to understand what he is. And then the guy always says, this is his move. His move is to tell you about all the stats and the scoring of Zach LaVine, and then you respond with, yeah, but he doesn't win.
Yeah.
Says, well, but just wait.
Just wait.
And then
for
you
what?
Go, well, you do realize the other end of the court is why the winning doesn't take place, is because he doesn't play any defense, and his teammates are let down because he loses his defender all the time, and he doesn't help on defense, and the whole thing kind of mixes together. It's not one or the other in the NBA. To be a great player, you got to kind of do both. And the guy will always come back to with, well, what if he improves on defense?
Nah.
Well, it's like, what player in league history just says, okay, here we go, I'm going to improve on D, and then immediately becomes good on defense? Very few far between. And usually the guys that do that are the guys with the deterior skill set who see defense as a way to stay on the court
in
their older years. The most notable guy that I would say is someone who unfortunately had to play his last game before the pandemic started is Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Vince Carter stayed in the league like an extra 7 years because he dedicated himself to being a good defender and making three-point shots, and no longer was he a superstar. He could just be a guy that would be on the court helping his team win. So, okay, Zach LaVine, he's just going to magically say, I'm going to be a defender now?
So do I want to see the Bulls play because I want to see what they can do on the court under the new front office? No, because nothing's going to change, because the odds are they're going to have Jim Boylan remain the coach for the remainder of the season. Then they'll say, thank you for your services, pack your things and go. And he leaves, and then you bring in the new head coach that you want to. Now, do I want the Bulls there for the behind the scenes? For the, hey, what's up? Hey, guess what? I'm here now. Guess you see this? I got the nice new quarter zip. It's got a Bulls logo on it. You want to come play in Chicago when all this stuff's done?
Right.
And you go, yeah, sure, okay, cool. And you work those back channels the same way the Bulls worked back channels during the All-Star game, right? When everybody from the league is in the same location. You know, so have the Bulls go there. That's fine. Let them play. Whatever. I don't care what happens on the court. What I care about is what happens behind the scenes. Now, before I said, I think the last time we did a show together, we talked about this. I said,
Sunday.
I don't want anybody to, it was either Sunday or Friday night. And I said, no, I don't want the Bulls to go because what's the point? Now, I've changed my mind because I want to see the behind the scenes stuff.
You had your hater pants on.
No, I didn't have my hater pants. I still don't care about what happens on the court. Doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if people in this city, if you want to join the conversation at 312-332-3776, like, do you care if the Bulls are involved? I feel like people have positive thoughts about the Blackhawks being a part of the NHL playoff here, and they think, hey, maybe the Hawks can get hot. Maybe Corey Crawford can stand on his head, and Patrick Kane can go wild for 3 weeks. Maybe the Hawks can do something. I don't get the vibe that anyone in this city is looking at the Bulls situation other than, let's just try and figure out what these young players are so the new front office can manipulate the roster in the offseason, and they can send the head coach packing and find the guy who's going to take over as the next head coach of this team. Like, I don't think anyone is excited saying, hey, you know, the Bulls, if they catch the right team, maybe they could work their way in, and all of a sudden they're a playoff team. What do you know? Playoffs. Like, does anyone feel that way?
The Blackhawks have two first-bout Hall of Famers on their roster still. They have guys that have won before. In hockey, it's different. You can get hot. You can have that hot goalie. You can make a run. Now, I don't think they're going to win it, because I think you'd have to win something like someone did, said like a 30, you'd have to win like 33 games or something like that to win the whole thing if you're coming from the pool, the postseason pool, as I'm calling it, because you still made the postseason. If you saw my flowchart on Twitter, at Chris Black, at Adam A. Abdallah.
Right.
The
right.
NHL season is over. Are you in the 24? Yes. Welcome to the postseason? No. Aw, shucks.
Well, I only say that because the NHL went out of their way suggesting
that
the teams past 16 and on, the Blackhawks are included, not technically playoff teams until they win that play-in round.
Are the Blackhawks in the 24 teams?
Are you a playoff team in baseball if you have to play 163?
Exactly. No, but this isn't 163.
But that's not what the NHL is telling us.
But it's not, because you're playing a best of. You're not playing a one-game blackout game on the south side.
It's a best of one.
It's not. It's a best of three.
It's a best of one. A playing game?
It's a best of five. No.
A playing game is a best of one.
I understand that a playing game is a best of one, but it's called game 163. This is the postseason. There are teams that are not, that don't get to play a best of five.
No,
there are teams that don't get to put their gear and go to whatever bubble city that there's going to be.
Did you hear this from Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast? You know, the Brooklyn Nets have two superstar players who have been out. But what if the Nets get the right matchup in the playoffs? What if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, what if they come back?
If they did a 1-16 and the possibility of Brooklyn Lakers in the first round, and like Durant and Kyrie knew that this week, like it was figured out this week, good luck even, Kevin. I know what's been said. I know what Woj just said. I got it. I'm just saying circumstances change.
Could you imagine if they did do that and they were like, Lakers, Nets to start the playoffs? And Kevin Durant was like, hey, y'all, remember last time I went against LeBron James? And I hit that three-point shot coming down the floor and winning a championship in his eye. And I was the best player in the world, but no one seemed to care that I was better than LeBron. And then the moment I got hurt, people went right back to saying LeBron's the best in the world. Could you imagine if Kevin Durant was like, hey, by the way, I'm putting the shoes on. I'm playing. I'm taking out LeBron in the first round.
It'd be fun.
You know how good that would be?
Yeah, it'd be great. Look, what the NBA is doing, that would be great. They don't have a city and a location. They don't have a timetable yet. NHL has a timetable, but no city, and baseball doesn't want to pay anybody.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
Okay, cool.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. Did you watch the golf this weekend, the match? Phil, Tiger, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Why was it so successful? We talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
The golf courses are open, and it's time to golf. Our guys at Prop Swap are sponsoring the Golf with Yurko contest this month. You and a buddy can spend the day golfing with Yurko, perhaps even consume an icy cold beverage or three.
Perhaps.
You can register on our contest page through May 31st. There's no purchase necessary. Just sign up to win. For official rules, go to ESPNChicagoContest.com. That's ESPNChicagoContest.com. Golfing with Yurko. And by the way, Abdallah, just so you know, I accepted an invitation from Yurko to golf with you and I. During one of the commercial breaks earlier today, on your behalf, I accepted.
Oh, for sure.
So just letting you know that Yurko thinks that we are coming. So you put that on the calendar. You get the iCal, put that on
name,
the iCal.
Name the course and the time, and you know I'm there.
Send Gmail invite for me.
I love the good kid, and I love golf, and I love golfing with the good kid, because I feel like no one is better to ridicule my poor shots than Yurko, because he'll only follow up with just as poor. Like, he knows what he is, you know? Like, he's either golfing, like, in the hundreds or he's hitting, like, 85.
But, like, you're not Barkley bad.
No.
Here's the thing that your inability to golf well is pure comedy for those who are with you because of the reactions that you have after the bad shot.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Like, the bad shot looks like a normal swing. It just may not go straight.
It just doesn't go where I was aiming. Actually, it probably goes exactly where I was aiming.
Your ability to, the moment you hit it, to either start walking away or to swing your club at the ground.
Yeah.
You don't throw your clubs.
Start swearing. I've had those clubs forever.
Or to immediately, this is the best one. This is a patented Abdallah move. He takes the hack, and as he's coming through on the follow through, after he hit the ball, he immediately is grabbing a ball from his pocket and putting it back on the tee and takes another swing before the first ball even lands.
Well, here's my philosophy on that, Chris.
That's the ticket.
As long as we're not holding anyone up behind us, as long as there's nobody behind us, how am I going to learn from my mistakes if I don't reattempt the shot?
Sure.
If you miss the free throw, how are you going to practice and learn if you don't reattempt the free throw?
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
No,
I count the swings. I get the one mulligan per round, whatever it is. That's fine.
Per hole.
Per hole. One mulligan per hole. Yeah. Whatever,
like that's works. My favorite, the ball in the pocket coming out before the first tee shot has even landed.
Yeah, because I can feel it. It's all feel. But there's like three or four holes. I'll have a good shot.
Yeah,
I'll drive you on a couple holes.
Sure.
Like, you know, like, it'll, you know, it's listen, the more I get to hit the ball, the more fun and more value I get, the more bang for my buck. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's how it works.
If I pay however much it is for a round, if I hit the ball 100 times, that means you just divide that by how many dollars I spent on that round. That's 40 cents a stroke or whatever it is.
Yeah. Keep you know? Stroking there, what? My friend. Your golf swing.
Ah, okay. Speaking of golf.
The match yesterday, on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Over 5 million people watch.
Yeah.
It was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. It was fun. It was cool. I checked it out. I originally, when I started watching, I thought to myself, they can't do this on Monday. The rain to me was like, why are they making these four super famous guys trudge through the rain like Abdallah and I will when we unfortunately pick a date that we have to go golf and we're like, oh, well, I guess we're,
you know,
we're
why,
out
Chris,
here.
It's
like,
simple.
Why did they make them do that?
Because
just wait till Monday.
Because you tell Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady
anything.
That they're going to have to wait around for another day.
What are they doing? They could drink on Sunday, golf on Monday.
I don't think it worked like that. You've got
why?
All the camera people.
Because Tom's not fun. He's not going to drink.
No,
I'm sure Phil and Tiger will.
Pandemic.
And I think Peyton would too.
Because of pandemic.
Some of the best stuff from the match. This was cool. Obviously, when Tom Brady chipped in.
What do you got left here, Tom?
His third.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no. I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Chuck, take a second at Chuck.
Excuse me, Tom? What did he tell Charles to do? This was also something that I thought was pretty cool. Here's the thing. For the event, you could do this and it would work. You don't even need the other three. Just send Phil Mickelson out on the course by himself, mic'd up, and just let Phil talk through all of his shots. Because when he did that, that was the best part of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I've done that.
Yeah, it is.
On Sunday.
I think you
that was the best part. Watching Phil talk about his shots and why he was shooting the shot the way he was, the different loft he was trying to get, where he was trying to land it on the grass, that stuff, that was the best part of the entire event.
See, I think that for the common fan, though, Chris, I think that the most appealing part was that you get two guys who are two of the greatest at what they've done playing football, and you get them trash talking each other about football while they're golfing. It's like it's funny, you know, like it's you get like imagine having like Jordan and Larry Bird on the golf course. Like, they're two greats at the NBA, and they would be, you know, trash-talking each other about that the entire time. We saw that in The Last Dance. But you get to see them doing it in a different setting than playing basketball. It's all about taking people out of their setting and putting them in a different setting where they can still be funny and we like the personality, but we want to see them doing something else.
You know, Phil was interesting. Peyton Manning, I could listen to him talk all day long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tiger and Tom. Tiger, not as much fun to be around. And Tom, really.
Tom's got some zingers, but
was very serious.
What I took away from Tom Brady is that I know he doesn't run his own Twitter account.
Why?
Because his Twitter's got some zingers.
Oh, you're saying the material wasn't original.
The material's not
It was
own.
A bit dry.
Yeah.
It was dry.
I feel like that's another reason why there were so many viewers is because when do you get access to Tom Brady for 4 hours where you get to hear him talk?
You don't.
You get him on the football field for 4 hours, but you don't get to hear everything he's saying. You get some of it, but you don't get everything. You don't get access to Tiger Woods for 4 hours where he's mic'd up the entire time. And it's all about the access. And I don't know if you'd see the same ratings if you're doing this for, like, you know, just regular golfers. Like, I don't know if you'd get this.
Oh, no. It clearly is the Q rating of four of the most famous athletes that we've had in the last 30 years.
We saw this with Tiger and Phil, and it was kind of a dud the first time.
Like post-Jordan, these four guys and what? LeBron James and Kobe Bryant are the other two that you'd put in the mix of, like, the four most famous people from the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Maybe Shaq, too.
Athletes,
but, like,
yes,
Barkley
for sure.
was there commentating, so, like, he was a part of it. He's super famous as well. A good old-fashioned roast of all the guys. Here they are.
If you could have brought a caddy today, who would it have been?
Brady, we were talking. He would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asked him to do. Gronk will wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later.
I've seen Phil do some odd things before, but having Tito mark that ball has got
to
be up there.
You want me to use one of my U.S. Open medals?
Do you have one?
Huh?
Do you have any? I got some silver ones. Do you have any of the gold ones?
That could be fairway. Over on 7.
These aren't the Falcons you're playing against. Tiger's a pretty good closer.
Same colors, though. It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons. Hold on. Let me step on that real quick. Let me step on that.
Let me put any Michigan.
They haven't been good since you left.
Everything I think about is, what would Charles not do?
Good old fashioned roast there from all four.
I would have liked a little more like prop trash talking, like Tiger being like, see, a little chilly, puts on a green jacket. You know, Brady tries to putt with all of his rings on.
See, that would have been good.
Yes.
You could have been used there.
You bring me in for the jokes.
We hear from Gary Bettman next, up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.